Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, if you take a look at a map of the world showing all of the airplanes currently in the air, what might stand out most will be the huge gaps in that map where no flights can be found. These no-fly zones usually occur where there's a risk to aircraft safety from events on the ground. And the conflict in the Middle East is the latest global situation to punch holes through air traffic flows, a situation that aviation experts say is costing commercial airlines time and money as they reroute or cancel flights. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Kevin Byrne, retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel, and he's here with me in the studio now to explain to us how all of this works. So, Kevin, how common are airspace closures firstly?
Not that common, but we've had a lot of trouble in the last decade or so where things have, you know, hotted up, so to speak. And it's up to either the local aviation authority to decide where airspace is closed, as happened in Israel recently, or perhaps in the Middle East. Qatar was under attack, of course, and you couldn't fly in there. But it's not that common. But this has all come to a head maybe 10 years ago when a flight called MH17 flew across Ukraine, as it happened then, because the Russians had invaded part of it then over Donetsk. Flew there, thinking there was no problem, and the Russians had fired a Buk missile, surface-to-air missile, and knocked it down, killing people, and of course denied it, but it was proved and verified later that it was a missile. An aircraft might have been misidentified, but from then on, commercial airlines themselves said, look, operations dictate that we don't put a risk in place from that point of view. So now we have huge chunks of airspace. I looked at the flight radar map before coming into the studio, Claire, and there are huge chunks of airspace which cannot be used, and it's a busy time of the year. This is now the summer season. Over Europe alone, there'll be 12,000 flights, 12,000 aircraft, you see. So they're coming east, west, north, south, and they can't do what they want to do, which is fly economically in straight lines or curves.
When there's a trouble on the ground, what happens? What's the procedure in order to find a way around that trouble?
Well, it isn't a failed state, and some of these places appear to be failed states. They don't have an aviation authority as you would have in a civilized world, so to speak. So the airlines get together and decide, or maybe organizations such as ICAO, which is the UN body, or IATA, International Air Transport Association, says this is not safe to fly through. And then the airlines are kind of rushing to get around it then. The problem there is there's a huge chunk, as you know, for years now over, Iraq. There are pieces like Yemen you wouldn't fly over, parts of Sudan from time to time. Anywhere there's a serious danger that you might be involved in a war. Of course, this morning, Iran itself is completely clear of aircraft. And I could find one jet flying across Iraq, funnily enough, it was going from Dubai to Damascus, but it's on its own as far as I can tell. So there are places best avoided, and civilized airlines, so to speak, won't go there. But because of that, it puts a squeeze on other parts, as you might imagine. There are now huge streams of aircraft which, instead of taking the most economical straight route, can't do that, and they're then fighting for airspace with other aircraft streams.
That, I imagine then, Kevin, would increase risk as well. If you're having to squeeze all of the aircraft into this narrow enough corridor around these zones.
Not really, because the separation standards are not in any way
compromised.
No, because they still have the same flow pattern. The trouble with that is, of course, there's a restriction on the number of aircraft to be taken through any particular airspace piece in a particular day, and it's usually in daylight hours, is restricted, and therefore there are going to be slot restrictions put on departures and arrivals and takeoff and landings and that kind of thing. And that's a huge effect in many, many ways, both on the profitability of airlines, which is quite thin at the moment, and on the operating problems at airports, which are hubs like Paris, Amsterdam, the Middle East itself in Dubai, and so forth.
Really into cost then, aren't we?
We are. We don't compromise safety, but it's going to cost more money. We also have increased emissions. If you have to divert an aircraft and add 2 hours to its flight time, which is happening now from, say, Hong Kong to London, you know, it does two things. It puts the price up of the flight, it shaves down the profit, and it knocks out the turnaround times that aircraft require to make them profitable from time to time. So,
and in some cases, Kevin, the flight time will be longer, won't it?
Yes, indeed it will. And for that reason, some of the operations staff and airlines are trying to find routes which would be uncommon, you know, off the beaten track, so to speak. But while the flight time is still the same, you'd at least have a safe operation and you could guarantee it, you know, 24/7 and so forth.
Well, Simon Calder is with us on the line now, to travel correspondent with the London Independent. Hello, Simon.
Yeah, good morning. And exactly as we've been hearing, this is uncertain times. Absolutely, safety is paramount and that will not be jeopardised. But it is causing all kinds of mayhem, as we saw on Monday evening when suddenly we saw airspace closed over Doha, flights to and from Dublin hugely disrupted. On top of that, we had from the UK, dozens of flights ending up in all sorts of strange parts of Europe and the Middle East. And it's taken days to recover from that. There will still be lots of Irish travellers who are perhaps flying from Melbourne to Doha to transfer to Dublin. And they're possibly still in India where their flight diverted. So very messy times. And yes, from an airline point of view, it's incredibly difficult these days to find a good and efficient way of threading through those difficult skies.
So when you have difficult skies, those skies that are over areas that are liable to have trouble on the ground, is it becoming more likely now that airlines, Simon, will say, do you know what, it's not worth the trouble and we will find some other part of the world to invest in?
Oh, very much so. Look, I'll give you an analogy. And this is a big Canadian airline just said, we're actually going to pivot away from the US because we haven't got the demand there. And there may well be international operators, not the big Gulf-based airlines such as Emirates and Qatar Airways, because they're kind of invested in their model. But other airlines may well say, yeah, we're not going to bother with this. It's simply too much stress. And of course, we're talking here with extended journey times without lots of missed connections. That gets very messy for the passenger and very expensive for the airline.
Expensive for the airline, but also you'll see some of those costs, no doubt, Simon, passed on to the passengers, right?
Oh yes. In time, a couple of things will happen, as we've been hearing. Increased fuel burn, actually increased engine wear, increased everything, increased staff time as well, reduced connection opportunities. That all feeds through to a couple of things. Higher costs, but also reduced choice, because airlines may well just have a look at a number of their routes and say, well, frankly, it's just not worth filling that route anymore because it's losing us money. And the more that complexity increases, costs increase, the more that you'll find that actually same number of passengers chasing slightly fewer flights, which obviously just means more higher prices as well.
Yeah, and Kevin, if an airline decides, well, we are going to stick in here and we are going to keep going, they are going to face increased insurance premiums and that's going to lift costs for everybody, including the end user, right?
That's exactly right. And unfortunately, it's so uncertain. Aircraft have to be put in, you know, flying 12 hours a day to make them profitable from that point of view. This is even affecting the short-term operators who fly in and out of Europe because the slots are not there and the aircraft, can't be used as often as they might. In terms of Europe, there's a knock-on effect as well, which we haven't mentioned. That's the environment. Open skies policies and philosophies are to get aircraft efficiently from point A to point B and using much less fuel than before. That isn't the case if you have to fly two more hours, which was going to cost you $7,000 per hour extra in fuel burn alone, despite the fact that, the aircraft running well. But what do you do? So it's going backwards in terms of the environment from the airport and airline point of view.
Of course, airlines, air traffic control, the governing bodies, they deal with this all the time when it comes to weather events and to natural occurrences.
That is true, and they do react quite well. But we are short of our traffic controllers, trained our traffic controllers, and putting a squeeze on a place where there's more aircraft than they can handle now doesn't bode well for the future in the short term in any case.
Simon, we always ask you when we have you on, where are you?
Oh, I'm in the middle of central London. It's all very busy and lively. I'm just on the South Bank by the London Eye, and there's all kinds of things happening. But absolutely, I agree. Air traffic control, even if you're not going to the Gulf, if you're going somewhere like Greece, one of the lovely islands, maybe Cyprus, Turkey, even Croatia and Italy, you might find your flight is delayed because there's so many unexpected flights from Asia and the Middle East that are being routed to the south over the Mediterranean that they're now fighting for space with the holiday flights from Ireland. It's going to be a tricky old summer, I'm afraid.
All right. Well, listen, we'll leave it there. Simon, normally you're in Japan having some very exciting food in a transit hub. So you'll forgive me for saying I'm a little bit disappointed to hear you're in central London today. But it sounds exciting where you are. It sounds noisy and active. Thank you so much, Simon Calder and Kevin Byrne, who is with us here in the studio. We'll take a break back after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.